Want to bring Christian greetings to each one this morning and appreciate the fact that we can meet together in God's house in God's name this morning. I would like to speak on the Christian home this morning. I didn't realize we were going to have an extra little ceremony this morning, but that's a tremendous blessing to have little Carlin Andrew as a part of the church community, and just wish an extra blessing on family there as well. Most of us appreciate beauty. When we build something, we want to make it look good. Some of you are able to, with your hands, create a beautiful picture. My attempts at art haven't improved since I was 6 years old. I can still make art that looks like a six-year-old, and some of you six-year-olds can do better. But I've learned and just recently that actually it's something that can be learned. It can be taught. And I saw a art book that I thought, you know, if I would have had that, maybe my stick figures would look more dignified. I saw art in a school recently that where a person, I don't know what the object was, there was a picture of a snowman, and the snowman took his head and did something with his head, and he pitched it out, and it looked like he did. I don't know how you can do something like that with stick figures, but there it was. But art is something that can be taught to a certain extent. Now, some of us will have it in us more than others, and we can do better. But I would like to apply that concept to building a home. We may not have it in us to know all the answers and to do it, but with God's help, we can. It can be taught, and we can learn, and we can improve our situation by taking heed thereto, according to thy word, like the psalmist says. And so this morning, you know, I love that scripture in Deuteronomy 6 where it talks about surrounding ourselves with God, with his word, and to make ourselves aware. I forgot to bring my glasses this morning, so I'm going to ask somebody else to read this. I'd like to start with verse 4 and read through verse 12. Will somebody stand up and read Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 12? Thank you. Now, there's both a warning and a blessing in what he is speaking here. He's telling us to speak of the Lord and make it a part of our life and do what he says. And then he's also telling us that we, when things are good, to not forget God. And you know, that is timeless because that's exactly where we are today in many ways. We need to surround ourselves with the teachings of God. We need to make them a part of our life. It says in the first part of that reading, I can't put my words on it. Oh, verse 6, it says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." I'm so impressed with that, with those words, because those are that's a New Testament concept, that he writes those words in our heart and it becomes a part of our life. It's no longer just the Ten Commandments on the wall and you observe to do this and this and this, but it becomes a part of us where it actually is it's our being. But he tells us to do that, and then he tells us to, when things are going good, when you're enjoying the things that you have not paid for, somebody else has done that, then to beware lest you forget. And so I think many times our surroundings, we've grown up in a pretty plush area, pretty plush era, and without a lot of personal expense. And so, very likely, we don't appreciate the benefits that we have like we should and like we should be aware of. And so we need to look at that and see what it's going to take to build a beautiful home. One of the things that I often have to think of, and that is the foundation. When you're building a home, the first thing you want to pay attention to is the foundation. Now, the foundation is we want to build on the solid rock, like Brother Steve was sharing. We want to have Christ as our foundation, but our relationship with him is going to be a part of that foundation. And of course, we often have to think of the father and the mother, the husband and wife relationship as the foundation. And again, I know that not everybody enjoys what God has intended, but I still want to say that is an important part of our home. Love your children's mother. I like to look a little bit at the story of Samuel. And Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1, we have the story of Elkanah. And my wife, my take on that is just a little bit different than my wife's take, because I discussed this a little bit with her at home. And she did not appreciate Elkanah at all. And I thought he was a pretty good man. It says here that when he went to Jerusalem, he gave a goodly portion to Hannah because he loved her. And then when she still continued to weep and grieve because she was childless, he said, "Am I not better to thee than 10 sons?" You know, which of us wouldn't like to think that we are better to our wife than 10 sons? I do. I would like to think that, but I know I'm not. There's no competition there, but whenever we have company and the boys have something that they want that they like better than what I do, my wife will be making that for them. So maybe I'm not better than 10 sons, but anyhow. Just like to say that, you know, he had a pretty good opinion of himself, but he also loved his wife. And that's the part that I like to see. He loved her. And when he gave her this and she still wasn't assuaged, you know, there was something deeper. There was something in her heart that she wanted. And the ladies can probably understand this better than we men can. But it was something that we understand as well. She was grieving for a child. And when she had this child, she made a promise to the Lord that she would dedicate him to the Lord. And she did. And when the time came for her to take him to Jerusalem or to wherever it was, she took him there. She took him with food. She took him with clothes and she left him there. Now, that just seems wrong, doesn't it? Take a young child away from his parents, put him in the service of the Lord. There was a godly man there. Eli was a godly man, but his sons weren't all that great. And there he was, and there he grew up. And he became a man of God. But he had a good foundation. He had a mother that loved him. He had a father that probably loved him as well, cared about him. But he was put into a good environment, and he grew up as a man of God. So the character of the parents is the default position for their children. That is true today yet, as it was in a lot of places there. Would we be satisfied if our children grow up to be just like us? Ooh, that hurts, doesn't it? You know, I don't want my children to be just like me. I want them to have some of the values that I have, but I want them to exceed. And sometimes when I look at them, I see, yeah, they have exceeded almost in everything. But the default is where we are in our low spots, and we need to be aware of that and to build ourselves up by following God. Jesus said, the Scripture says that if any man lack wisdom, to let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let him ask in faith. We can ask God for wisdom in raising our families. But if we're not doing things that we already know that we should be doing, then we are not asking in faith. And it says that if we don't ask in faith, then we can't expect to receive that. And so asking, believing that he is the answer, and asking in faith is saying what we already want. We're already doing what we know we should. And back to Deuteronomy verse 5 of that of chapter 6. He tells us that we should learn to, or he talks about loving the Lord with all our heart. And that's really what our end goal is for our children. You know, Murray made mention that, you know, they're just newborn, and then soon they're going to Sunday school, and then time moves so quickly. And I can say that, just emphasize that. You take a couple that's been married for 10 years, and they're just about out of the newly married part, not quite into the old married part yet, and yet add 10 years to it, just that another section of time, and look how much times change. If you have a 10-year-old as your oldest child, in 10 more years, 10 short years, that person will be 20. And just 10 more years, it's time just really, really moves fast. And so we don't have a lot of time, and we have a lot of work to do in a short time that we have. But let's think about building beautiful homes. And most of the things that we can do, most of the direction that we have is timeless, comes from the Word of God. He tells us, one of the scriptures that I have to think about is, it says in Ephesians 1, very, very easy to understand, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. A lot of that it's easy to understand. We want our homes to be a haven. We want it to be a place of safety. We want our homes to be a place where the youngsters will learn to praise and to love and to serve and to fear the Lord, to fear the Lord, to serve Him, and have an understanding of that. Fear is, it doesn't mean to walk in terror all the time. It means to have a right understanding, to see as God sees. And God hates sin, but He loves the individual. And if we can understand that, we can go from there. We want our home to be a place where service, God's service, is enjoyed and spread out, just like living water. And to do all of that, we need God's help. I have to think of respect. Respect is something that needs to be learned from, and it needs to be learned by example a lot. It needs to be taught. In my day, teachers, school teachers, were always right. And today, many times, a school teacher can be questioned by someone that has only one-tenth of the experience that that person has and be brought into question. I don't think that's right. School teachers need to be, the respect needs to be there until it's proved otherwise. I think a parent needs to listen to what the children have to say, but do not allow disrespect in any kind of form. It's taught. And if we allow disrespect in some authority, it's going to grow into others. Respect for siblings, respect for property, respect for themselves. The Bible tells us that we should honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. I believe that honoring all men is a very key component to Christian living, and it's something that makes for beautiful home life. Which of us, of siblings, hasn't had a squabble or fought with our siblings? There, you know, probably all of us will say that we did. But how was it taken care of? It can't just be tolerated and just overlooked and say, well, that's just the way children do. They need to be taught not to do that. I remember one of the disciplines in our home was, we had to sit on a chair and put our arm around each other until we were ready to get along. I've heard of, in my wife's family, she said they used to sit on the chair and look at the Sears and Roebuck catalog together. They could look at pictures together until they were able to get along. Some families have them washing windows, one on the inside, one on the outside, until they get along. Those are all good things, but they're proactive. They're things that have to be done. I remember telling our children that, you know, one day they're going to be best friends, and why not start now? That's the way it is. There is sibling rivalry. There are fights and squabbles and so on, but we need to deal with it. We can't just let it go and just let it be. Forced kindness is better than no kindness at all, at least to the person that's giving it. If we need to do it, if we're forced to, it doesn't do us a lot of good, and yet it does some good. Doing the right thing is always right. And so we can do that. We need to learn diligence, sticking to a task until it's done. When a child is old enough to go to Sunday school, they're old enough to understand some things that need to be done, put things in their place, and so on. That can be taught. Be diligent. Stick with the task until it's done. We teach faithfulness by example. A life of constancy rather is not just a single act. What can you depend on? One of the things that I remember meant so much, and as we look back at our childhood and life, having mom always there at home was a rock. It was a source of constant, something we just could depend on. She wasn't out shopping we had special needs children, and so there was a need for her to be at home, and she always was. When we were, unless if she was driving us home from school, of course she was there, but even when we were carpooling with somebody, we come home, first thing you want to know is, where's Mom? And she's there. And that was a tremendous anchor, and something that I think needs to be. We have a lot of things to do, you know, in our time here, and sometimes maybe that's less important than what you think. But I think it is incredibly important. Be there for your children in times of sickness and times of trouble. Just to simply be there. We need to teach dependability. When tasks are assigned, we need to teach that they can be. They need to do them. They're dependable. It's much easier for a parent to just go ahead and do it themselves than it is to try to teach the children how to do it, whether it's washing dishes, whether it's putting things away, whether it's outside chores. It's many times quicker and easier just to do it yourself than it is to try to get them to do it. But we're cutting ourselves out of a character building and dependability, something that can be taught. And again, beauty is something that probably much more depends on how we handle it than what just comes naturally. A willingness to sacrifice personal pleasure for the good of others is also an important part. There's nothing good comes without a sacrifice of some kind. Almost nothing happens without somebody sacrificing good for something else. I believe that it's good to have to be able to go on a project of raising money for a certain thing. I like to see it like our Bible school students do. We can do that as a family as well, willing to raise for a project or something. Most of the old timers are firm believers that it's good to have chores. I think it's good personally to have animals to take care of, but more than that, just regular duties that every household has. It's good to have assigned duties and to expect. That's where dependability and faithfulness, sometimes sacrifice, comes in. It's always great for that. And then I believe that playtimes are important as well. You know, my family was pretty devoid on playtime. I don't ever remember my dad saying that, well, now you can go out and play. I don't think that ever happened. But, you know, I don't ever remember being bored when I had time to do something. And I think I hear that nowadays. Youngsters don't know what to do. They're bored. I don't ever remember being bored. We played with sticks and dirt and twigs and all kinds of things. We had imagination. We went to the orchard and dug little dugouts into the side of the hill, and that's where we were until we got called home. We had lots of fun and lots of creativity, and now we have lots of toys, but not a lot of imagination. Sometimes Those things go together. If you take away the toys, maybe the imagination comes. I remember reading about one family that had given their Christmas presents, and they were so disappointed that the youngsters didn't really appreciate the toys they were given. All they were doing was playing with the boxes. Well, you know what? That's not a bad deal. That creates imagination. You can do a lot with boxes. So play with the boxes. Allow them to do that. That's a great thing. Story time. It's a great opportunity to build character, to just enjoy time together. Read stories that are character building, that are funny, that build imagination. All of those things can be so important. Such a blessing. Even nap time can be a blessing. Both quiet time, children can, if the mother needs a nap, they can at least learn to be quiet. You can't enforce sleep. I remember my mom saying, you have to lay down, but you don't have to sleep. I said, no, I have to sleep? No, you don't have to sleep, but you have to lay there. Well, I always went to sleep. You just have to lay there and be quiet. Well, sometimes you can play into that. Sleep can't be enforced, but quiet can. And that can help. I was so blessed the other evening when one of our brethren shared that what their bedtime ritual was and how he wanted his children, his sons, to hear him pray them, hear him pray for them, that they would be men of character, of truth. That's such a blessing. And those can be these things can be shared and can be such a blessing to others. We can help each other to build beautiful homes. One of the things that I have said before that I think is so important, and that is a time for father and mother to be alone after the children are in bed. We had a tradition that we would get the tea kettle out and make a cup of tea when everybody else was in bed, and this would be our time to talk. When the children got older, sometimes they joined us, but not always, and not too often, actually. But this was our time, and we could talk about things of the day, things that we wanted to, just communication. You can't operate without communication. You can't operate effectively without good communication, and it's terribly important to do. Some churches organize a date night for families, and they'll share babysitting responsibilities so that couples can go out. And it's not all bad. I mean, I think it's a good idea. So I didn't talk to my wife, but I'll offer our services if you need to do that, because we are committed to help him build. Beautiful homes. You can have the outside of the house look like you want, but we would like the inside to be beautiful and peaceful and loving. I am of the firm conviction that the home is the closest place to heaven that we're going to find on earth. The Christian home is the closest thing to heaven that you're going to find on earth. You'll be surrounded with people that you love, people that love the Lord, people that want to serve, and people that are anxious to help each other. You know, what more can you expect when you get to heaven? You're going to be with people that you love. You want to be with people that love the Lord and people that serve. So what? There it is. You are the real you when you are at home, when there is no company. That's who your children will be without any interference. We can teach gratitude by our attitude. And that's something that's incredibly important, is to be people that are a thankful people. I was impressed so much by the person that said that we can't have gratitude and fear at the same time in our mind. So be grateful and show, and that is something that catches on. I was so blessed some time ago by the graciousness of a youngster that invited us into their home, and it was just like their parents. The words that he chose were just like the parents would have chosen. And I could see that influence was tremendous there. We teach by what we are and what we do. And then one more thing is that the most important points of a sermon are in the car on the way home from church or at the dinner table whenever there's a discussion. And what you say will have a much greater impact than what I say or what the other people will say. And so, as fathers, as mothers, you know, we are given tremendous opportunity. We have more influence in the lives of our children than anybody else will. And an 8-year-old looks up at his father as a hero, and a 16-year-old looks at him as, you know, how did you lose so much? But understanding that will help us to deal with it and to be constant, to be there for him, and to have answers, but to expect obedience. I believe that all of those things working together will help to make our homes a place where God is central and where there can be love, unity, and pleasure.